بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يسرنا في شبكة بينونة للعلوم الشرعية أن نقدم لكم هذه المادة.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن نبينا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليماً كثيراً. ثم أما بعد، فقد شرعنا في الدرس الماضي بالنسبة لي تحدثنا عن من كان عاجزاً عن صيام رمضان، فذكر النوع الأول الذي يجوز له الفطر ويجوز له الصيام، وهو المريض الذي يتضرر والمسافر. ثم ذكر النوع الثاني وهو الذي يحرم عليه الصيام، وهي الحائض والنفساء، يحرم عليهما الصيام. ثم ذكر النوع الثالث وهي الحامل والمرضع، وذكر التفصيل في هذه المسألة، نعيدها باختصار. أقوال العلماء في الحامل والمرضع على أقوال ثلاثة. من أهل العلم من قال الحامل والمرضع عليهما القضاء، يجوز لهما الإفطار وعليهما القضاء فقط، ومنهم من قال بأنهما يجوز لهما الإفطار وعليهما الإطعام فقط، والقول الثالث الذي رجحه المؤلف وهو القول الصواب أو نقول الأقرب للصحيح، هو تفصيل في هذه المسألة: إن خافت الحامل والمرضع على نفسها فعليها القضاء، لكن إن خافت على جنينها فعليها القضاء مع الإطعام. هذا هو الأقرب في هذه المسألة. النوع الأخير وهو العاجز عن الصيام بسبب كبر السن أو المريض مرض لا يرجى برؤه، لا يرجى شفاؤه، هذا عليه ماذا؟ عليه الإطعام، ولا يجب عليه الصيام. هذا باختصار ما ذكره المؤلف في أنواع الذين يعجزون عن الصيام.
So the Shaykh حفظه الله, he began with خطبة الحاجة, a translation of which is, indeed we praise Allah, we praise Him, we seek His help, we seek His forgiveness, we seek refuge with Allah from the evil of our own souls and from the consequences of our evil deeds. Whoever Allah Ta'ala guides, there's none that can misguide. And whoever Allah allows to go astray, there's no guidance for him. And I testify that none has the right to be worshipped in truth except Allah, who is one without partners. And I testify that Muhammad is His slave and His messenger. May prayers and peace be upon him, his family, his companions, and those who follow them in excellence until the day of recompense. As to proceed, the Shaykh, he mentions that in the last sitting, we began discussing those categories of people who are unable to fast in the month of Ramadan. And so in summary, we mentioned that there are various types. You have those who it is permissible for them to either fast or break their fast. And this is in reference to the sick person who will be cured from the sickness at some point, or the traveler. And then there's the category of those who it is haram for them to fast. And this is in relation to the woman suffering from postnatal bleeding or upon her menstrual cycle. Fasting for them is haram. And then there is the category of those who it is permissible for them to break their fast. But we went into detail regarding this category of people, which is the pregnant woman and the breastfeeding woman. And in short, or to summarize the ruling as it relates to the pregnant or breastfeeding woman, then the scholars have made three statements in relation to her. Then firstly, there are those who say that the woman who breaks her, who is to break her fast in this state, it is permissible for her to break her fast, but she only has to make the day up. Then there are those who say that for the pregnant or breastfeeding woman, it is permissible for her to break her fast, but she only has to feed a poor person for every day that she does not fast. And then the third statement, which is the correct statement, and it is the chosen viewpoint of the author himself, it is that there are details to it. So if the pregnant or breastfeeding woman breaks her fast out of fear for herself, then in this case, she makes the day up only. She makes the day up only. And then there is the state wherein she breaks her fast out of fear for her child that is in her womb or the child that is breastfeeding. If they break their fast out of fear for the child, then they make the day up and they feed a poor person for every day which they did not fast. Then there's another category of people who do not fast, and this is the elderly man or the elderly woman who is incapable of fasting, or the one who suffers from an illness for which they will not be cured. In this case, they are to feed a poor person for every day that they don't fast. This is a summary of the rulings connected to those who do not fast.
نعم. ثم قال رحمه الله من أفطر فعليه القضاء فقط ومن أفطر فعليه القضاء فقط إذا كان فطره بكذا وكذا وكذا. يعني الآن سينتقل إلى فقط الذين يجب عليهم ماذا؟ يجب عليهم القضاء فقط. من هم هؤلاء الأصناف؟ ولا يجب عليهم ماذا؟ ولا يجب عليهم الفدية أو الإطعام. قال من أفطر بأكل أو بشرب أو قيء عمدا أو حجامة أو إمناء بمباشرة. إذن خمسة أنواع، خمسة أنواع. النوع الأول والثاني الأكل والشرب هو الذي نص عليه ربنا سبحانه وتعالى في قوله وكلوا واشربوا حتى يتبين لكم الخيط الأبيض من الخيط الأسود من الفجر ثم يتم الصيام إلى الليل. فإذن في هذه الآية فيها أن المسلم يمسك في صيامه عن الطعام والشراب، عن الأكل والشرب. كذلك النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من أكل أو شرب ناسيا فليتم صومه فإنما أطعمه الله وسقاه. فإذن من أكل أو شرب وكان ذلك في نهار رمضان فإن هذا يعد مفطرا له ويجب عليه القضاء لأنه قد أكل أو شرب لأنه من المفطرات. فهذا بالنسبة للأكل والشرب.
And so the author, he goes on to mention here that whoever breaks his fast, then it is only upon him to make it up if his breaking of the fast was by way of certain things. And so the author here, he's going to mention some of the things which break the fast and make binding and incumbent upon the person to make the day up only. And later he's going to mention some of those things which break the fast. And in addition to making it up, one has to do a fidya. He says that. But he mentions here that if he breaks his fast by way of eating or drinking or intentional vomiting or cupping or ejaculation by way of contact or arousal. He says, so here you have five affairs. You have five manners that are mentioned here. And the first two of these types, they are eating and drinking. And this is what have been textually mentioned by your Lord, wherein Allah Ta'ala said inside of the Quran, so eat and drink until the white thread becomes clearly distinct to you from the black thread of Fajr. So here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this verse, he mentions that the Muslim is to withhold from eating and drinking during the daytime in Ramadan. And then thereafter, he says, and complete your fast until nightfall. So here, it is made clear to us that we are to withhold from eating and drinking during the daytime. Likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that whoever forgets and eats or drinks while he is fasting, then let him complete his fast, for it is Allah who has given him food or drink. Therefore, we are able to understand by way of that the one who eats or drinks during the daytime in Ramadan intentionally, then this individual has broken or nullified his fast.
نعم. إذن عرفنا أن الأكل والشرب من المفطرات. تحدثنا بالأمس قلنا منافذ الأكل أو الشرب الفم والأنف. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال بالغ في الاستنشاق إلا أن تكون صائما. فالأنف يعتبر يعد منفذ من منافذ ماذا؟ من منافذ الأكل أو الشرب. وهذا الآن موجود في هذه الأزمنة، يوضع توضع المغذيات ونحو ذلك على المريض في يعني في الأنف أو في الفم. طيب، هذا هذا لا إشكال فيه، لكن نريد قاعدة حتى نفهم فيها أي نوع من الغذاء أو أي نوع من الأمور يعد مفطرا ومغذيا. نقول من أجمل القواعد التي وضعت في هذا في هذه المسائل أو في هذه الأبواب ما نص عليه شيخ الإسلام رحمة الله عليه، من أن كل ما يغذي البدن، كل ما يغذي البدن من يعني سواء كان عن طريق الفم أو الأنف أو كان عن طريق الدم الأوردة، كل ما كان مغذيا مقويا للبدن فهو مفطر. فهو ماذا؟ فهو مفطر. فإذا هذه القاعدة لابد أن تفهم حتى نعرف ما هو الذي يفطر. يعني مثلا يسأل السائل مثلا يقول الإبر التي تكون فيها الفيتامينات أو الإبر التي تكون فيها يكون فيها الحديد أو المغذي الذي يوضع على المريض، هل هذا يفطر أو لا يفطر؟ فماذا نقول؟
نعم يفطر.
يفطر لأنه غذاء، أو قد يقوم مقام الغذاء لأنه غذاء أو أنه يقوم مقام الغذاء. طيب لو سألنا مثلا أو يعني يسأل البعض مثلا الحقن التي تستخدم مسكنات للبدن، المسكنات هل هذه مفطرة أو ليست مفطرة؟ على القاعدة تكون ماذا؟ غير مفطرة. كذلك الحقن التي تكون أجلكم الله الحقن الشرجية مثلا أو المهبلية بالنسبة للنساء، هذه الأشياء ليست من المفطرات، ليست من المفطرات. فينبغي أن نفهم القاعدة. إذن القاعدة أن كل ما دخل أو كل ما كان مغذيا للبدن مقويا له غذاء أو يقوم مقام الغذاء سواء كان عن طريق الفم عن طريق الأنف عن طريق الدم هو مغذي، هو مفطر لأنه ماذا؟ لأنه مغذي للبدن. ما عدا ذلك ما ليس بمغذي للبدن فهو ليس بمفطر.
And so by way of this we're able to know that one eats or drinks, then they have nullified their fast. They have engaged in the nullifier from the nullifiers of the fast. He says, and so what is in connection with this as well is the individual who, yani, they may take something into, yani, their nose or their mouth and it reaches the throat. As for example, we mentioned this when the Messenger of Allah alayhi wasallam said that go to extremes, if you will, in doing istinshaq, taking water into the nose, except while you're fasting. Why? Because the water can reach down to the throat and thus it would end up breaking the fast. And this is something which is clear. And as we mentioned yesterday, there's no, that there's a connection between the nose and the throat and the mouth and the throat. He says, so this is something that's no ishkal, there's no, nothing problematic as it relates to this. It's clear, we understand it. He says, but when I mention a qaida and a principle is in relation to, yani, how do we know, yani, if something, yani, is that amongst those things which give, which break the fast because they give nourishment to the body. How are we to know and distinguish from those things that give nourishment to the body and those things that don't? He says, so we mentioned this principle that has been mentioned by Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah and others, and it is that all things which nourish the body, whether it is taken into the mouth or into the nose or it is inserted into the blood, and they give strength, they strengthen the body and they give nourishment to the body, then those things nullify the fast. He says, so by way of this, we're able to know, yani, those things which, yani, they give nourishment to the body and those things which, yani, they may be taken, but they don't give any nourishment to the body. Based upon this, yani, we say those individuals who, for example, they take vitamins or they take iron supplements and the likes of this, yani, these things, they will in turn nullify a person's fast based upon this principle that we mentioned. A person takes IVs that is injected into his body, and he takes different types of medicines, and they nourish the body, they give strength to the body and support it, then these things are amongst those affairs that nullify the fast. Similarly, if a person were to ask us regarding any drops that are placed into the eye or drops that are placed into the ear, and the likes of this, do these things break the fast? Then no. Based upon its principle, these things do not break the fast. Whether it is these drops that are taken by women specifically or other than that, these things don't nullify and break the fast. And so therefore, the principle is that all of those things which give nourishment to the body and they strengthen the body, whether they are taken by way of the mouth or by way of the nose or into the blood, then these are those things that nullify and break one's fast.
النوع الثالث قال أو قيء أو قيء عمدا. إذن القيء إذا كان بتعمد لحديث النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من ذرعه القيء فلا يقضي ومن استقاء وجاء في بعض الألفاظ ومن استقاء عمدا فليقضي. فإذن في حديث النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن القيء وهو ما يخرج من الفم هذا الذي يعني يكون فيه قضاء إذا كان بتعمد أما ما خرج من دون تعمد فهذا ليس فيه قضاء. كذلك يعني ما يشعر به أحيانا الصائم في من تخمة يعني من كثرة أكل أو شيء من هذه الأمور قد يحصل ارتجاع للطعام فيشعر بطعم الطعام في فمه. إن استطاع إخراجه من غير تكلف إن استطاع إخراجه فيخرجه، لكن إن غلبه فأحس بطعمه وعاد في جوفه فهذا لا شيء عليه وصيامه صحيح.
So thereafter he mentions the affair of intentional vomiting. One who vomits intentionally, he says, and this is means that the individual who vomits on purpose, he makes himself vomit or throw up. As for the individual who he vomits and it is not intentional, then we have the narration of the Messenger of Allah alayhi as-salam, who said that whoever vomits unintentionally, he does not have to make it up. But whoever vomits intentionally, then he has to make it up. He says, likewise, from that which is from the what is intended by way of that is the individual who makes himself, he forces himself to vomit or to throw up, then this person must make up that day of fasting. And the one who does so, he does so unintentionally, he doesn't intend to throw up, but he begins to feel somewhat sick and he throws up, then this person does not have to make that day of fasting. What is connected to that as well is that feeling that some of the fasting people may begin to feel when they eat too much, they may eat too much for suhoor or what have you, and they begin to feel the food as though it's trying to come up, and so some of it may come into his mouth, and he may find some of that food inside of his mouth. If the person can expel it out and spit it out without any takallaf, while overburning himself or what have you, then he does so, and there's no harm in that. But if it were to go back down, if you feel it come up and then it were to go back down, then in this case, there is no harm upon him. He is not broken or nullified his fast.
طيب النوع الرابع قال أو حجامة ومسألة الحجامة هذه عند الحنابلة خلافا لجمهور الفقهاء طيب بالنسبة للحجامة هل هي مفطرة أم ليست مفطرة؟ الخلاف الذي وجد بين أهل العلم بسبب حديث أفطر الحاجم والمحجوم، هذا الأول. الحديث الثاني أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم احتجم وهو صائم واحتجم وهو محرم. الآن عندنا حديثان، الحديث الأول فيه أن الحجامة ماذا؟ مفطرة، أفطر الحاجم والمحجوم. والحديث الثاني فيه جواز الحجامة للصائم، فهذا سبب الخلاف، إذن كيف نوجه هذه الأحاديث أهل العلم اختلفوا في هذا، منهم من قال آخر الأمرين عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كانت أن الحجامة مفطرة، يعني هو حديث أفطر الحاجم والمحجوم. ومن أهل العلم وهم الجمهور من قالوا بأن الحجامة ليست بمفطرة، وإنما هذا كان قبل ذلك. طيب، الآن عندنا حصل الخلاف في هذه المسألة، ما هو الأقرب للصواب؟ نقول الأقرب للصواب والله أعلم هو قول الجمهور، قول الجمهور خلافا لقول الحنابلة. لماذا؟ نقول لأن أنس رضي الله عنه يقول إنما كرهت الحجامة لأجل الضعف. ما معنى هذا الكلام؟ يعني أن المحتجم إذا احتجم في نهار رمضان فإن بدنه سيضعف، وبالتالي سيؤدي به إلى الفطر، سيؤدي به إلى ماذا؟ إلى الفطر. فلذلك كرهت الحجامة لأجل الضعف، هذا أثر أنس. كذلك عندنا أثر ابن عباس قال أول ما كرهت الحجامة لما مر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم على جعفر رضي الله عنه وهو يحتجم، فقال أفطر هذان، ثم رخص بعد ذلك في الحجامة للصائم. إذن من أثر أنس وأثر ابن عباس ماذا نستفيد؟ نقول الأقرب والله أعلم هو قول الجمهور، وهو أن الحجامة ليست مفطرة، لكن ينبغي على الصائم أن ينتبه لهذا الأمر، لأن سحب الدم من البدن وخروج الدم من البدن لا شك أنه سيسبب له ضعف، وفي الغالب سيحتاج إلى ماذا؟ سيحتاج إلى الإفطار. فإن كان يعرف من نفسه أنه سيضعف ويفطر فيؤجل الحجامة إلى ماذا؟ إلى ما بعد الإفطار. لكن إن كان يعرف من نفسه أن فيه قوة ويستطيع التحمل ولا تضعفه الحجامة واحتاج لها، هناك حاجة ماسة لأن يحتجم في النهار، فنقول لا بأس أن يحتجم في نهار رمضان.
The next issue is the issue of hijam, of cupping. He says that now, as it relates to the affair of cupping, then the Hanbalis or the fuqaha, they differ regarding the issue of whether or not a hijama, does it break the fast or does it not break the fast. And the crux of the difference of opinion in this issue is around the hadith that the hajim wal mahjum qad aftara, that the cupper and the one being cupped have both broken their fast. And likewise, there's a narration in which it is mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was cupped while he was fasting and while he was in a state of ihram. He says, so the first narration that we have mentions that fasting, or seems that cupping, it breaks the fast of the fasting person. The second hadith will indicate the permissibility of that. And so as it relates, these two narrations are the reason for the difference of opinion. So how do we bring together these two narrations? The Shaykh says, though some say that the last of that which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was upon was that it was that it breaks the fast. The last of that which he was upon was that it breaks the fast. And so they say that the first hadith that we mentioned, yani it is the latter of the two narrations. So this is the last of that which he was upon. And he says, however, some say that it does not break the fast. Some say that it does not break the fast, as that narration actually came before, that it was first in terms of its sequence. He says that, but what is the correct viewpoint is that which the majority of the jurists are upon, and it is the opposite of that which the Hanabila state. And this is based upon the narration of Anas, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, where he mentions that, yani, the cupping for the fasting person was only detested or only hated due to fear of da'af, due to fear of weakness. It would weaken the fasting person. He says, and so, meaning that during the daytime in the month of Ramadan, while the person is fasting, then if he were to get hijama, that it is feared that the hijama will lead to that person becoming weak, and that weakness will lead to that person breaking their fast. And so therefore, yani, it was hated for that reason, due to the fear of weakness. Likewise, Ibn Abbas, radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, he mentioned that the Prophet alayhi wasallam passed by Ja'far. The Prophet alayhi wasallam passed by Ja'far while Ja'far was being cupped. And he said that these two, both of them, meaning the cupper and Ja'far, have broken their fast. He says, but then thereafter, he alayhi wasallam allowed for the fasting person to receive hijama. He says, so if we look at all of these narrations, Yani, then that which we conclude is that which the majority of these scholars are upon, that the reality is that hijama, it does not break the fast. Cupping does not break the fast of the fasting person. However, it is incumbent upon the people to pay attention, pay close attention to this fact, that the removal of blood, there is no doubt that it will weaken the person. No doubt it will cause weakness to the person. And that weakness can possibly lead to that person breaking their fast to save themselves from that weakness. So therefore, if the person knows from himself that he is the type to become weak, and he becomes weak whenever he gets hijama or he gets blood drawn and the likes of this, then what is incumbent upon that person is to delay the hijama until nighttime. He delays it until nighttime. But if the person knows that he has strength in the body, his body can take getting hijama while he's cupping, and it's not going to have an effect upon him, it will not harm him, then in his case, there's no harm in the person getting hijama during the daytime while they're fasting.
طيب لذلك كان ابن عباس رضي الله عنه يقول الفطر مما دخل لا مما خرج. الفطر مما دخل لا مما خرج. هذه كذلك قاعدة من القواعد التي ينبغي أن يفهمها الصائم. يعني على هذا إذا احتاج الصائم إلى شيء من التحاليل الطبية، سحب دم أو شيء من التحاليل الطبية مما يكون فيها إخراج الدم، فهذه ليست بمفطرة،
And so, نعم. And due to this, we have the narration of Ibn Abbas رضي الله تعالى عنه. He mentions that, يعني, the breaking of the fast is predicated upon that which goes in, not that which comes out. The breaking of the fast is based upon what goes in the body and not what comes out of the body. So this, the Shaykh, he mentioned, is a qa'idah that the fasting person, he can take along with him. So that if, for example, he has to see some medical professional, a doctor, what have you, and he has to get some type of treatment that entails, yani, him getting blood drawn, or a test to get blood drawn and the likes of this, then, yani, if he has to get blood drawn, his fast is not broken by way of that. Simply him getting blood drawn.
طيب ثم قال النوع الخامس أو إمناء بمباشرة أو إمناء بمباشرة، والذي يقصد به ماذا؟ خروج المني من الصائم. خروج المني من الصائم هو مفطر من المفطرات. ما الدليل على هذا؟ قول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في الحديث الذي جاء ويرويه عن ربه سبحانه وتعالى، يدع طعامه عن الصائم، يدع طعامه وشرابه وشهوته من أجلي، يدع طعامه وشرابه وشهوته من أجلي. فإذا ترك الشهوة وهو خروج المني من، يعني، أجل الصيام، هذا لأنه يعتبر ماذا؟ يعد مفطر من المفطرات، فقرنه بالأكل والشرب. ولذلك يقال إن خروج المني من الصائم في حال يقظته هو ماذا؟ مفطر من المفطرات. لكن لو حصل منه خروج المني في أثناء النهار في نومه، نام في أثناء النهار فاحتلم، هذا ليس في حال اليقظة، فلا يفطر. لذلك قال المؤلف رحمه الله تعالى، قال أو إمناء بمباشرة. طيب بالنسبة لخروج المني هذا يعني مفطر، لكن من عرف من نفسه أنه إن باشر أو قبل أو فكر أو نظر أو نحو ذلك أنه قد تحصل له شهوة شديدة يترتب عليها ماذا؟ يترتب عليها نزول المني، خروج المني، فهل هذا كذلك؟ نعم، عدها الفقهاء أنه إذا استرسل في هذا الأمر، استرسل في مسألة التفكير والنظر ونحو ذلك حتى خرج منه المني من دون مباشرة، فهذا كذلك يعد مفطر من المفطرات.
So the Sheikh mentions thereafter, or ejaculation by way of contact or arousal that is brought about by that contact. He says, and so meaning by way of that, that if one's desires are invoked until he ejaculates on the account of that, then this is something that nullifies the fast of the fasting person. He says, and the proof for this is the hadith and one that which the Prophet alayhi salam narrates from his Lord, that Allah Ta'ala has stated that he has left his food, drink, and his desires for my sake. He says, and so the leaving off of desires means the leaving off of ejaculation. He says, though, this is a proof that yani ejaculation, yani by way of this contact and arousal, it nullifies the fast of the fasting person, because Allah Ta'ala in this hadith Qudsi has connected it to two other no nullifiers, eating and drinking, or food and drink. He says, however, if the fasting person, and if he were to be, for example, sleep, is during the daytime in Ramadan and he is asleep and he has a wet dream or what have you, then has he nullified his fast by way of that fluid that is emitted from him? Then the Sheikh, he says, no, he has not broken his fast, because the author is mentioned here by way of contact, which causes that arousal. He says, similarly, well, the individual who, yani, he knows that, yani, if he is one who he kisses his wife or frequently touches her or frequently looks at something, yani, or what have you, even if, or if a person does this, he looks repeatedly, yani, at something and he gets so aroused that he may eventually ejaculate, even if he didn't touch someone, but yani, from repeated looking, he got so aroused that he ejaculated. Has this person broken his fast? Then the Sheikh says, yes. Even if he has not touched her, but he repeatedly looked until yani he began to ejaculate, then this person has broken and nullified his fast.
نعم. ثم قال يعني أو إمناء بمباشرة هذا قلنا في حال خروج المني. هل يقاس المذي على المني كما هو عند المالكية؟ من يعني يتأمل في مسألة القياس لابد أن تتوفر الأركان. المذي يكون في بداية الشهوة، والمني يكون في اشتداد الشهوة، فمسألة القياس هنا على يعني قياس المذي على المني لا تصح. لذلك الصواب أن خروج المذي ليس كخروج المني، خروج المذي ليس مفطرا، وإنما الذي يكون مفطرا هو خروج المني بمباشرة أو كما ذكرنا بيعني أي نوع من أنواع التفكير أو الاسترسال في هذه الأمور فخرج منه المني يكون مفطرا. والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قبل وهو صائم وباشر وهو صائم، لكن كما جاء في وصفه صلى الله عليه وسلم كان أملككم لإربه، يعني أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يملك شهوته في هذه الأمور، فيعني من عرف من نفسه، لذلك رخص للشيخ الكبير في السن بالقبلة للصائم، لأنه في الغالب أنه يضبط نفسه، أما الشاب الذي يكون فيه القوة ويكون فيه الاندفاع فهذا قد لا يرخص له في القبلة. الضابط لهذه هو أن المرء يملك شهوته أو لا، فإن كان يملك شهوته فلا بأس، لكن إن كان لا يملك شهوته ويترتب عليها خروج المني في رمضان فهذا يعد انتهاك لحرمة الشهر وهو من المفطرات.
And so the Sheikh, he mentions, before we go to the next point, he says that you have the affair of al-madhi, this pre-seminal fluid. He says, so is al-madhi similar to al-mani as the Malikis state, meaning that if one emits madhi, that pre-seminal fluid, then he has likewise broken his fast, as the Malikis say? He says, so we differentiate between the two. He says that madhi is that which occurs at the beginning of arousal. He says many is what occurs when the arousal intensifies. He says, and so by way of this, we say that the qiyas between the two is not correct. To make an analogy between these two and making them similar in ruling is not correct. He says, for madhi is not like many. And therefore, madhi, the emission of madhi, that pre-seminal fluid, it does not break the fast. He says, but however, many does break the fast, even if whether it's by way of touching, it's brought about by way of touching, or by way of frequent thoughts, as we have previously mentioned, frequently looking at something, frequently thinking about something until one gets aroused and they ejaculate. He says, and it is known that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would kiss and touch his wives while he was fasting. But he, alayhi as-salam, was not like other men, for he had gained mastery over himself. He gained mastery and could control his urges and his desires. He says, so if one is like this, they have a bit of mastery over themselves. They're able to control their urges and their desires, like the elderly man. Then there's no harm in him kissing his wife or touching her and the likes of this. As for the youth, the young man who has strong urges and he has strong desires, then the likes of this person, he should stay away from these things while he is fasting, as it may incite him to go further and perhaps ejaculate. He says, and so the general ruling is that if the person has mastery over himself, he can control himself and control his desires, then there's no harm in a person like this, perhaps kissing his wife, touching his wife, and the likes of that. If the person is not like that, then they should stay away from the likes of these things.
طيب بعد أن ذكر المؤلف هؤلاء الأصناف الخمسة الذين يجب عليهم الذين إذا حصل منهم هذا الشيء عليهم القضاء قال إلا من أفطر بجماع فإنه يقضي هذا أولا ويعتق رقبة فإن لم يجد فصيام شهرين متتابعين فإن لم يستطع فإطعام 60 مسكينا. إذن انتقل إلى نوع آخر من أنواع المفطرات وهو من أعظمها وهو الجماع في نهار رمضان فمن حصل منه جماع في نهار رمضان فإن عليه أمران اثنان: عليه القضاء قضاء هذا اليوم لقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صم يوما مكانه وعليه الكفارة وهي عتق رقبة فإن لم يستطع فصيام شهرين متتابعين فإن لم يستطع فإطعام 60 مسكينا. جاء الصحابي إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وقال يا رسول الله هلكت. قال وما أهلكك؟ قال وقعت على امرأتي في نهار رمضان. فقال له النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أتجد عتق رقبة؟ فتعتقها؟ قال لا. قال أتستطيع أن تصوم شهرين متتابعين؟ قال لا. قال أتجد أو أتستطيع إطعام 60 مسكينا؟ فقال يا رسول الله ما بين لابتيها أفقر مني، يعني ما يوجد أحد بين هذه البيوت في المدينة بين اللابتين الحرتين لا يوجد أحد أفقر مني، فما عندي المقدرة على ماذا؟ على إطعام 60 مسكين. فضحك النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ثم قال أمكث مكانك، حتى جاء إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بتمر، أحضروا له تمر فأعطاه فقال أطعمه أهلك. في هذا الحديث فيه فوائد، وهي أن القضاء مع الكفارة إنما يكون على انتهاك حرمة الشهر، ويكون في الجماع في نهار رمضان وليس في أي جماع في أي يوم آخر ولو كان فرضا. يعني لو حصل من الرجل جماع في غير رمضان وكان يقضي فرضا من الفروض وحصل منه الجماع فإن عليه الاستغفار والقضاء، ليس عليه كفارة. الكفارة إنما هي خاصة بماذا؟ خاصة برمضان، خاصة برمضان.
Now, so after the author mentions these five categories of those who must generally make up a fast that they have broken, then he goes on to mention another category or another type. And it is the statement of the author when he says, except the one who breaks his fast by way of sexual intercourse. For this person is to make up the fast and free a slave. If he does not find a slave to free, then he is to fast for two consecutive months. If he is not able to do so, then he is to feed 60 poor people. The Sheikh, he mentions that. And so amongst the types of nullifiers of the fast, it is from the most heinous and horrible of them, is intercourse during the daytime in the month of Ramadan. So whoever does this, whoever has intercourse during the daytime in Ramadan, there are two affairs that are incumbent upon him. Firstly, he must make that day up. He must make that day up. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, then fast a day in the place of that day. The second thing that is upon him is that he must do a kafara or an expiation. And the expiation is by way of firstly freeing a slave. If he is not able to free a slave, then he must fast for two consecutive months. If he is not able to fast for two consecutive months, then it is by way of feeding 60 poor people. And this is based upon the narration wherein a Bedouin came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, O Messenger of Allah, I have destroyed myself and destroyed someone else. The Messenger of Allah said, alayhi as-salam, what has destroyed you? He said, I happened upon my woman during the daytime in Ramadan. And so the Prophet alayhi as-salam asked him, do you have that with which you are able to free a slave? The man said, no. He said, well, are you able to fast for two consecutive months? The man said, no. He said, well, are you able to feed 60 poor people? And in the version which the Sheikh mentioned, here the Prophet alayhi as-salam, he said, there is not between its two lava pits, meaning the two lava pits of Al-Medina, a family more poor than mine. Meaning that you are asking me if I can feed 60 poor people, and my family is so poor that we can barely even feed ourselves. He says, and so the Prophet alayhi as-salam laughed, and he told the man to keep your place until some dates were brought to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he gave them to the man. He said, take this and give it to your family and sadaqah. And so in this narration lies a number of benefits. The first benefit is that this kafara, this expiation, is due to a person violating the sanctity of the daytime in the month of Ramadan. And it is not due upon a person for having relations during the daytime of any other day or any other fast. He says, so even if it may be an obligatory fast. So if a person, for example, was making up some obligatory fast that was due upon him, and he were to have relations with his spouse during the daytime of that fast, then all that is due upon that person is to make that day up and to seek forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what he has fallen into, as this kafara is specific to the month of Ramadan.
طيب. ثم الفائدة الثانية نقول أن هذا الحكم خاص بالجماع. فلو باشر امرأته في نهار رمضان فأنزل من غير جماع فلا كفارة إنما عليه القضاء فقط.
The second benefit that is extracted from the narration is that this ruling is specific to intercourse during the daytime of Ramadan. So if a person were to touch his wife until he ejaculates without actual intercourse, then there is no kafara, no expiation due upon him. He simply has to make the day up and seek forgiveness as this specific to the affair of intercourse.
هل المرأة الفائدة الثالثة نقول هل المرأة عليها كذلك نفس الحكم القضاء مع الكفارة خلاف بين أهل العلم لكن الأقرب والله أعلم أن المرأة كما يقول أهل العلم إذا طاوعته في هذا الأمر طاوعته في مسألة الجماع في نهار رمضان ولم تنكر عليه فلها نفس الحكم يكون عليها نفس الحكم من أنها ماذا تقضي هذا اليوم مع الكفارة وهي عتق رقبة فإن لم تجد فصيام شهرين متتابعين فإن لم تستطع فإطعام 60 مسكينا لكن إن أكرهها وأجبرها فليس عليها شيء ليس عليها الكفارة بل بعض أهل العلم قال حتى يعني ليس عليها القضاء لأنها مكره، لكن يقال الأحوط والله أعلم أنها تقضي وليس عليها كفارة إن أكرهها.
نعم. The next ruling the next ruling is that, or the next benefit is that as it relates to the woman, the woman who, herself who has relations with her husband, does the same ruling apply to her, meaning that she has to do the expiation as well, just as the man does? Then there's a difference of opinion between the scholars regarding this issue. That which is closest to being correct is that if the woman obeys him in that, if she is a party to that action, and she obeys him in that, and she does not object to it, she does not repudiate him, then the same ruling is applied to her. It is that she must make the day up, and she must do an expiation of freeing a slave. If she can't do that, then fasting for 2 consecutive months. If she can't do that, then feeding 60 poor people. But if he forces her and compels her while she is not pleased with that, then there's nothing due upon her. Some have stated that, yani, the woman, she must make the day up only. Yani, in this case, that she only must make the day up. However, that which is closest to being correct is that there's nothing due upon her as he forced her and compelled her upon this action.
يذكر البعض أن في موضوع الكفارة أنه إن كان الرجل مثلا واليا حاكما غنيا يسهل عليه عتق الرقبة أو مثلا الإطعام، فلذلك يقولون بأنه يوجب عليه مسألة الصيام حتى يكون فيه تعزير له. هذا غير صحيح، هذا غير صحيح، لأن الكفارات هي أولا من عند الله سبحانه وتعالى، هذا تشريع من رب العالمين، فلا يتقدم على كلام الله وكلام رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. الأمر الثاني أن في هذه الكفارات فيها تهذيب للإنسان وليس تعذيب له، فالمراد بها هو الاستجابة لما جاء في أمر الله وأمر رسوله بهذا الترتيب الذي ذكره النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: عتق رقبة، فإن لم يجد فصيام شهرين متتابعين، فإن لم يجد أو لم يستطع فإطعام 60 مسكينا.
So as it relates to this expiation, then there are two things that must be paid attention to. Firstly, some of the people have stated that if the person who is doing the expiation is like the ruler, or he is a rich person such that it is easy for him to, for example, free a slave or to just feed people, then in this case, it is obligatory upon him to fast, so that the fast will be a type of ta'azir, a type of discretionary and disciplinary action that is implemented upon him. Sheikh, he says, but this is not correct. This is not correct. He says, because this is a law's legislation, and it is not proper and befitting for anyone to put themselves forward ahead of Allah Ta'ala in terms of his legislation and start rearranging the legislation in this manner. And so, secondly, he says that this kafara, it is a means of education and discipline and not a means of punishment or torment. He says, and so we find this particular sequence that has come in the narration that we ought to adhere to. One, it is the freeing of a slave in order to expiate for this action. Secondly, if one can't do that, then they ought to fast for 2 consecutive months. And then if one can't do that, then they go to the next level, which is feeding 60 poor people.
نعم، الفائدة الأخيرة من هذا الحديث هو أنه ينظر في حال هذا الرجل، كما أخبر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لما علم من حاله أنه فقير ولا يجد شيئا وهو صادق في هذا الأمر، لم يوجب عليه الإطعام وهو غير مستطيع للصيام. فينظر في حال هذا الشخص إذا كان صادقا في مسألة عدم مقدرته على الصيام، قد يكون مريضا لا يتمكن من الصيام، فلا يمكن أن نوجب عليه صيام شهرين متتابعين. كذلك قد يكون فقيرا لا قدرة عنده في مسألة ماذا؟ الإطعام. فهنا لابد أن ينظر في حال المرء الذي وقع في هذا الذنب، وهو الجماع في نهار رمضان. فإن كان يعني كما هو حال هذا الرجل، لم يوجب عليه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم شيء، بل سقطت عنه الكفارة لأنه عاجز، لأنه عاجز عن عتق الرقبة، عاجز عن الصيام شهرين متتابعين، عاجز كذلك عن إطعام 60 مسكينا، فتسقط يعني الكفارة في حال هذا العاجز الذي هو صادق في كلامه.
And the last faida that we mentioned from this narration is that as it relates to the person himself, we have to look into his state and his condition. And so if the person's state and condition is similar to the state or condition of this man in this narration, for example, the man, he was poor, and he was truthful in his statement that he was poor. Naam, and likewise, that he was incapable of fasting. So we look into his situation, and if he is truthful about his situation, he's incapable of fasting, for example, he may be sick and have a sickness that prevents him from fasting. And the person, he may be poor, and thus he is incapable of feeding 60 poor people. Then we look into his state and his condition of the one who did this sin. And if it is like this, then the affair of the expiation is removed from him because he is incapable of paying it. He is incapable of doing this expiation.
نكتفي بهذا القدر وسبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك ونراكم بإذن الله في درس يوم الغد بعون الله وتوفيقه وتيسيره السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
So we conclude with this amount for this evening, and we will see everyone inshallah ta'ala in the next lesson tomorrow. The Sheikh concluded sending the salawat and salamat upon the Messenger of Allah alayhi aslam, his family and his companions.
للاستماع إلى الدروس المباشرة والمسجلة والمزيد من الصوتيات يرجى زيارة شبكة بينونة للعلوم الشرعية على الرابط بينونة.net وجزاكم الله خيراً.